Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's Shiur is Brochos Daf Mem Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's Shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 12 lines from the top of Daf Mem Tes. You will notice in the middle of the line the expression Pligi Bo Abo Yoisi Ben Destoy for Rabbonon. So the Gemara points out that there is a machlokas between Abba Yoisi and the Rabbonon regarding the Brocha of Hatov Vametiv, and specifically, is there a requirement for having a mention of Malchus in that Brocha? Chad Omar Hatov Vametiv Tzricho Malchus, the Chad Omar Eino Tzricho Malchus. Is there a necessity of having the Hamelech Olam expression in addition to the standard Baruch Ato Hashem opening of a bracha? Do you need to have, in addition to Baruch Ato Hashem, do you need to have Elokeinu Melech Olam, which is an expression of Malchus, of kingship that the Almighty exhibits over the world? So the Gemara goes on to explain what is the rationale behind whether yes or no do they require that. Man diomar tzricha malchus, kosovar de rabbonon. The opinion that says that the bracha of hatova metiv, the fourth bracha of brichas hamazon, requires malchus, that is because it's an independent bracha. It's not considered somuch l'chaverta. It's not considered a continuation of the other brachas. And how is that? Because it is derabbanan, it is rabbinic. The other three brachos are derived from references in the Torah. The fourth bracha, Hatova Metiv, is considered something that is rabbinic in origin, and we've alluded to this in the past, that it was formulated because of the miracle involving the burial of the people murdered in Beitar. Uman diomar eino tzricho malchus, the opinion that says that it doesn't need Malchus, Kosovar Doraisa, he is of the opinion that it is a part of the, it is a continuation of the previous brachas, it being Doraisa of a Torah origin as well as the previous brachas. So, being that it's Somuch L'Chaverta, it doesn't need the entire text, the Boruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, that was recited already at the very beginning of the Birchas Hamazon, of Birchas Hazon, and all the following brachas, being that it's a chain of brachas of the same quality, the same level, meaning all Doraisa, so there's no need for an additional reference of Malchus in this last bracha. Tonu Rabbona, the Gemara continues, and we have a title to this particular section of Gemara on the side under our No Say heading, Nusach Chasimas Brocha. The Nusach, the text of the end of the Brocha, will be featuring here at the end of the Brocha of Binyan Yerushalayim. And also, the Gemara will make reference to Ein Chosmin Bishnayim, that when you have a text of a Brocha, you don't have two separate points, ideas mentioned in the chasima, in the signing off bracha, in the concluding bracha. And Rashi points out that one, that the rationale, the logic behind that is, we don't want to make mitzvos chavilos. If by let's say, stuffing in extra ideas, it looks like you're trying to pile as much as you can into one bracha, giving the impression that you want to that it's a burden and you're trying to get as much done in one shot as you can. So we continue now in the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, the Tanaic source, as you can see in a frame, is two lines. Mahu Choisem, what is the closing bracha of the, we'll call it the third bracha of Birchas Hamazon? So the first opinion is Bebinyan Yerushalayim. Maybe the text is familiar to many of you. We say Bonei Brachamov Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Moshi'a Yisrael. Blessed be the Almighty, that is the Savior, the salvation of Israel. The Gemara asks, this Deya, this second opinion, Moshi'a Yisrael in Binyan Yerushalayim, lo, is he suggesting that the text should be only, should be Moshi'a Yisrael and not Bonei Yerushalayim? And the reason behind this question is the if you look at the text of the third bracha of the Brichas HaMazon, there is an emphasis placed on Yerushalayim, on the building of have compassion on Yerushalayim and Tzion Mishkan Kvodecha and the and Bais HaGodol, the Beis HaMikdash. All of these are Yerushalayim themes. So why would someone say that the closing bracha should be the salvation of Israel and not a reference to the building of Yerushalayim? So the Gemara answers, you know, you've got a point there. And it says, Ela Emo Af Moshi Yisrael. What the second opinion is saying is that you have an option. If you want, you can say even Moshi Yisrael if you don't choose to say Bonei Yerushalayim. And Rashi explains very interesting and profound thought. And he says, we have this dashed underline in our Rashi, a little few lines up from here. Shetshuas Yisrael I Binyan Yerushalayim. The salvation of Israel rests in the building of Yerushalayim. That only until the building of Yerushalayim takes place, only then will you have the real salvation of Israel. Continuing in the Gemara, Rabbo bar Rav Huna Ikla Lebei Reish Galusa. Rabbo visited the home of the exilarch. Posach b'chado v'siyem betarti. Rashi explains, Posach b'chado, k'shehishchil b'vrocha lo omar racheim Hashem al Yisrael amecha v'al Yerushalayim irecha, elo achas mehen. In fact, this text is something we do have in our standard Birchas HaMazon, but he, in this story, he did not open up with both of them. He opened up with one of them. Ukshechosam, chosam b'shtayim, Moshi Yisrael u'ben Yerushalayim. And in the closing bracha, he mentions both ideas. So it's a type of imbalance, if you will. He opened up with only mentioning one, and in the closing of the paragraph, he closed with two. Omar Rav Chista, Givurta l'michtam betarti. Givurta is an expression that's probably sarcastic over here. In other words, it means great strength. In other words, could be something along the likes of some type of show-off or big shot. That to close with two points. V'ha Tanya, we have a teaching that says Rebbe Omer Ein Choismin B'Shtayim, that the closing bracha should not have two ideas in it. And we pointed this out before because it's like making mitzvahs chavilas, like trying to pack in a lot into one bracha, which is the swara there not to do it, is that it creates impression that it's a burden to you, and you want to get it off your back. There's still room for analysis here, in light of what Rashi mentioned before, that if the chasima b'shtayim is Moshi Yisrael u'boni Yerushalayim, is that really a chasima b'shtayim when the svara does exist that Shuas Yisrael he binyan Yerushalayim, that they're really one and the same? But it could be that this is a point of controversy, and we saw that could very well be the underlying point in the Machlokas Tanoim, in the small Tanaic source, where the Tanakhama says only Binyan Yerushalayim, and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda added Moshiach Yisrael as a possibility. Continuing in the Gemara, Gufa, Rabbi Omer, Ein Choismin B'Shtayim, Rabbi says that you're not supposed to have two ideas in the concluding bracha. In any bracha, a bracha is supposed to be a single unified idea. If you have multiple ideas that you want to mention, so you'll accomplish that by giving each idea its own bracha. Esve Levi Lerebi. What we're going to see in the next few lines is going to be a volley of back and forth. You're saying not to be choisim b'shtayim, but what about all of these examples? And each one will be answered. So Levi asks, well, what about in our text we say ala aretz v'ala mazon? We're blessing the Almighty over the land and over food. There's land and there's food. They're two separate things, and yet it seems to be okay. Answer, eretz demafka mazon. The land that produces the food. In other words, it's not two separate ideas. We're acknowledging, we're blessing the Almighty for the land that brings forth food. It's a description of the land. It's a singular idea. Question, Al Oretz v'Al HaPeros. In the end of the Me'ein Shalosh over fruit that one that eats the fruit that the land of Israel is blessed with. So the concluding bracha is this, on the land and on the fruits. Are they not two separate ideas? So the Gemara answers similarly, Eretz Demafka Peros. We're blessing the Almighty for the land that produces fruits. We're again describing the land, not two separate ideas. Question, Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hazmanim. So here you have the one who sanctified Israel. It's a nation, and the Zmanim are the holidays. And yet we do use that as a concluding bracha in the Shmoneh Esrei. So also in Kiddush. So the Gemara answers, it's not two separate ideas. Yisrael, the Kadshinu Lizmanim. We're blessing the Almighty who is the Lord of Israel that sanctifies the Israel, that sanctifies the Jewish people, sanctify the holidays. Through establishing each new month, set up when the holidays arrive. So it's a description of Israel, the nature of Israel that sanctifies the holidays. Well, question, Mekadesh Yisrael v'Roshei Chodashim, what about this, the sanctifier of Israel and the new months? So the Gemara answers similarly, Yisrael dekadshinu l'roshei chodoshim. It's a description of the nation of Israel that sanctifies new months. The Gemara asks, well, what about this? Mekadesh hashavos v'Yisrael v'hazmanim. And here, you can't say the same answer as we were giving before, that the nation of Israel sanctifies the Shabbos. The Shabbos existed before the nation of Israel. The Shabbos, as a holy separate day, dates back to the time of creation, and it's not something that's dependent on the Jewish people establishing new months and a calendar. It happens anyway. So you see here there are two ideas. We're acknowledging the sanctity of Shabbos and the sanctity of the people of Israel. So the Gemara says, Chutz Mizu. Well, this is different. This is, in other words, except for this. The Gemara asks, Umay Shno. Well, what's the difference? The Gemara answers, Hocho Chado, he Hosom Tarti. V'chol Chado, v'chado, ba'api nafsho. What we are confronted with here is, here in the Brocha of Mekadesh Hashabos v'Yisrael v'Azmanim, that we find acceptable. But in the case of Moshiach Yisrael Lubonei Yushalayim, that Rebbe would not find acceptable. That was what, when Rebbe said Ein Chosim V'Vishnayim, we're taking that to mean that you can't have in your sign-off bracha of the third bracha of Birchas Hamazon, Moshiach Yisrael and Bonei Yushalayim. And yet, this seems to be acceptable in Kadesh HaShavos Yisrael V'Azmanim when they really appear to be two separate ideas. So Rashi elaborates, Chutz Mizu, Umay Shno, Hochochado, he. Ein kan elo birchas mekadesh. In the brocha of mekadesh, Hashabbos Yisrael Zmanim, it's true we said you cannot say that it's the nation of Israel that sanctifies the Shabbos. So it would then appear that Shabbos is a separate idea from Israel. So the Rashi explains, no, it's all a brocha of sanctity. That's what he says. Ein kan elo birkas mekadesh. Shemivorch kodesh baruch hu shemekadesh haShabbos vaZmanim. We are acknowledging the Almighty that He sanctifies special days. There is the Shabbos. There are holidays. Avol Moshiach Yisrael bonu shalom tarti milininu. However, the idea of the salvation of Israel and the struggle, the rebuilding, the reconstruction of Jerusalem, are two separate ideas. The ein kulim shnei dvorim bracha achas, and you don't include two things in one bracha. So that this we'll just have to say in spite of what Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda said above in our Tanaic source. When you look at things objectively, without too much additional explanation, the salvation of Israel is one entity, one idea, and the building of Jerusalem is a separate idea, and those two we don't have in one bracha. However, when we say Baruch Ato Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbos Yisrael Azmanim, it's one idea of sanctification, that the Almighty sanctifies. Sanctification is a concept meaning something that's separate. Like when you dedicate something to the Beis HaMikdash, you separate it from the mundane. So to the nation of Israel, the Jewish people are a separate people. Their ways, their entire existence is something different. Needless to say, the Torah that they accepted makes the Jewish people a separate nation. And likewise, the Sabbath day, Shabbos, holidays are separate from weekdays. So it's one concept of separation. Hence, that passes the test of it's not a problem of Ein Chos Mishnayim, Masha Ein Kein, as opposed to Bonei Yerushalayim Moshe Yisrael, that is a problem. We continue in the Gemara. V'taim omai, at the beginning of the line, the Gemara says, V'taim, why is it? And we had quoted Rashi on this, but in effect, it's really the Gemara itself. Why is it that Ein Chosmin Bishnayim? Because V'taim omai Ein Chosmin Bishnayim, why do we not have a concluding bracha with two ideas? Answer, L'fi she'ein oisin mitzvos chavilos chavilos. We don't want to create an impression that the mitzvos are burdens upon us, and that we're trying to get as many done in one shot. And therefore, we don't want to have two ideas incorporated in one bracha. My havi Allah. The Gemara is asking, what should we do? What's the halacha? Rav Sheshis explains, Posach berachim al amachol Yisrael, if you're opening to the third bracha was that text, have compassion on your nation Israel, then choseim b'moshia Yisrael, then your closing shall be Baruch Ato Hashem Moshia Yisrael, the one who is the salvation of Israel. Posach berachim al Yushalayim, if you opened up with have mercy on Jerusalem, then choseim b'bone Yushalayim, then you close with that, a recognition of the Almighty that builds Jerusalem. Rav Nachman disagrees with Rav Sheshis and says, "Afilu pasach berachim al Yisrael, even if you opened up with that, have mercy on Israel, then chosein bebone Yerushalayim. Still, it would be appropriate to close with the reference to the building of Jerusalem, Mishum Shenemar. The pasuk indicates this relationship. Bone Yerushalayim, Hashem, Nidchei Yisrael Yichanes. And the explanation follows. Amosai Bone Yerushalayim Hashem. When will the Almighty build Jerusalem? Bizman Shenidchei Yisrael Yichanes. When the outcasts of the Jewish people, namely the Jewish people which were cast out of their land, Yichanes, are gathered in. So that the building of Yerushalayim and the salvation of Israel are really intertwined, as the Pasuk indicates. Amalei Rabbi Zera the Rav Chista, Nesi Mar V'Nisni. Rabbi Zera invites Rav Chista to hold forth, to teach. Nisni has come to teach us. Amalei Rav Chista reacts. He says, Birchas Mezona Lo Gamirna U'Tenuya Masnina. I don't even know, I haven't even learned the laws of Birchas HaMazon, and you expect me to come and teach you? Amar Lei Mai Hai. So Rabbi Zera sort of like raised his eyebrows like, what do you mean you don't know Birchas HaMazon? Amar Lei. So Rav Chista tells him a story. He says, Dikloi Lebe Reish Galusa. I came to the house of the Reish Galusa, so Brichi Birchas Mazona, and I said the Birchas HaMazon, V'zakfi Rav Sheshis L'kui Olai Kechivyo, and Rav Sheshis raised his neck like a serpent, in disgust, in wonderment. V'amai, so what happened? Why? Delo Amri, because I, in my Birchas HaMazon, did not say Lo Brisva, Lo Torah, Lo Machus. I didn't make reference to the Bris, and to the Torah, and to the monarchy. That means the kingship of Hashem. V'amaylo Amris. Well, why didn't you say all of those things? These are central topics that have to be mentioned. So Rav Chista answers, well, Kid Rav Chanan Lomarav, I was basing myself on his teaching. If one deletes bris, Torah, and malchus, he does nevertheless fulfill his birchas hamazon requirement. And why are these things negotiable? Why are they expendable? Bris l'fishein obinoshim. Bris is something that is it's circumcision, doesn't apply to women. Torah malchus l'fishein on lo binoshim v'lo bavodim. Torah and monarchy are things that are not applicable to women. That means the Torah study. Women are exempt from the obligation to study Torah, and it doesn't. And these also malchus doesn't apply to slaves. So therefore, there's so many parts or sections of the Jewish people that are not included in these elements in bris, Torah, malchus. Therefore, it appears to be expendable. So Rabbi Zera asks Rav Chissi, says v'ad shapkis kolhani tanoi v'amoroi v'avdis karav. Do you leave aside all the other tanoim and amoroim that have mentioned that you are supposed to acknowledge a bris and Torah and malchus in the birchas hamazon? So how is it that you and he leaves off, the Gemara ends off leaving this sort of expression of wonderment, how he can opt to leave out these things when so many other Tanoim and Amoroim say that they must be a part of the Birchas Hamazon. Omar Rabo Barbachanum of Yochanan Hatoiv Vametiv Tzricha Malchus. The fourth bracha of the Birchas Hamazon needs a reference to Malchus. The Gemara asks, "My Komash Malan, what is Rabbi Yochanan telling me here that I don't already know?" Kol Brocha She'ein Bo Malchus Lo Shema Brocha. Is he suggesting that any brocha that doesn't have Malchus in it isn't a proper brocha formulation? The Omer Rabbi Yochanan Chadazim. No, but Rabbi Yochanan has already taught that. So we have in our markings, you see, a double underline that appears here, and a number of lines later under Rav Popa as well. And on the side of our Gemara, we have a No, say the topic heading is Lahazkir Malchus v'Birchas HaTov HaMeitiv, the need for mentioning Malchus in the fourth bracha of the Birchas HaMazon. And we also have a Mivneh, a structural note. These are the double underlines are Pirushim LeDivrei Rabbi Yochanan, different explanations. What is Rabbi Yochanan trying to accomplish right here in light of the fact that he's already, if it's to tell me the text of a bracha requires malchus in it, that he's already taught. So the Gemara continues. Omar Rabbi Zeirov, Lomar, when Rabbi Yochanan here says that Atova Meitiv needs malchus, what he's really saying is shtei malchios. It requires two references to the kingship of Hashem. Chado dido, one for the bracha itself, meaning just to formulate the bracha, you need to have Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. That's Elokeinu Melech Olam, the kingship. And V'chado Deboinei Yerushalayim. And another Malchus reference to make up for the lack of Malchus in the Bracha of Bonei Yerushalayim. In other words, when you Bonei Yerushalayim is the Bracha of Rachim, it closes with Baruch Ato Hashem Bonei Barachamov Yerushalayim. There's no Malchus in that bracha, so we make up the lack of Malchus by having another reference to Malchus in the bracha of Hatova Meitiv. We say Avinu, Malkeinu, Adirenu, etc. So there's an additional Malchus reference. Well, the Gemara asks, Yochini Boy Klas. Well, then there should be three Malchus references in Hatova Meitiv. Chado Dido, one for itself, Chado de Bonei Yerushalayim, Chado de Birchas Haaretz. There, one for the Birchas Haaretz, and that namely the second bracha of the Birchas HaMazon also we ends off with Baruch Ato Hashem Al Haaretz V'Al Mazon. There's no Elokeinu Melech Olam there. So if you're interested in making up Malchuyos from the other brachos, so why not have three? Elo Birchas Haaretz My Time Elo. Why is there no concern over Birchas Haaretz? Mishum Davi Lo Birchas Haaretz. Birchas Haaretz doesn't need a Malchus because it's next to Birchas Hazon, which opens up, the first bracha opens up with Elokeinu Melech Olam. Bonei Yerushalayim Nami Lo Tiboy Davila Brochas Mucha Lechaverta. So Bonei Yerushalayim, by the same token, should also not require a malchus, because it too, it doesn't require malchus. There's no need to make one to make up for its lacking, because it doesn't. I mean, it's the third bracha of the Brichas Hamazon is also Samuch Lechaverta. It's also part of a chain. It's next to the previous brachas, and we said in the first bracha there was malchus, and that carries over to all the rest based on the law of Brocha Smucha Lechaverta. So the Gemara answers, and you know, as we're trying to explain what Reb Zeira said, it needs the Hatova Meitiv needs two Malchios, one for itself and one for Bon Yerushalayim. What do you mean by that? So the Gemara explains, Hu Adin Dafilu Bon Yerushalayim Nami Lo Baya. It is true that to make up a Malchus for Bon Yerushalayim, you don't need to do that, because it really is Smucha Lechaverta. So from the laws of brachos, from bracha construction, you don't have to worry about the lack of malchus in Bonei Yerushalayim. And as far as Hatova Meitiv is concerned, Ella, Aidi de'omar malchus beis David, since in the bracha of Bonei Yerushalayim, in the third paragraph of the Brichas Hamazon, we say this phrase, malchus beis David, we make reference to the Davidic dynasty, lav orach ara de'lo omar malchus shemayim. So it's lack of propriety, sensitivity, etiquette, that no reference is made to the kingship of the Almighty. Once again, if we're troubling ourselves to make reference to a mortal kingship, as great as it may be, as great as the Davidic dynasty, but nevertheless, what about the ultimate dynasty, the ultimate monarchy, that of the Ribono Sholem, the Almighty's dynasty, or a monarchy? Therefore, we mention Malchus in an additional Malchus in the fourth bracha of Birchas Hamazon. Rav Popo Omar Hochi Komar. Rav Popo explains when we say that Atov Ameitiv needs Malchus, Sricho Shtei Malchuyos Lebar Midida. It needs two references to Malchios besides itself, besides its own. Rashi says, Shtei Malchios, Kigon Ovinu Malkenu, the word Malkenu is one of those additional ones. Adina Bari Lenu Kadeshin Gurishanku, Royan Israel, Hamelech Hatova Meitiv Lakol. Le Bar Midido, and what that means is, like we explained, Sheposachas Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. So we have Melech Olam, and there's a need for two additional Malchios. Now, the Tosfos comments on this, Lomar Shetzricho Shtei Malchios Bar Midido, Chado Devoni Yerushalayim, Delavo Rach Aro, the one additional Malchus is because of the Derech Eretz expression, a point that we made before. V'gam bo ein yicholim lomar malchus tosmucha hi. In the Bonei Yerushalayim itself, we can't say malchus because that would upset the construction of the bracha. Al kein omer batova meitiv v'hoyu v'omer bo malchus Bonei Yerushalayim de lavo rochara. Since in the Hatova Meitiv we said Malchus to make up for the lack of Malchus Hashem in Bonei Yerushalayim, Amar Nami de Birchas Oretz, we say also another Malchus for the fact that in Birchas Oretz, in the second paragraph, the second bracha, there is no Malchus. Afal Pishi Smuch Lechaberta Hayov Lo Niskenu Bozer Achazed Yoshua Tikein Birchas Oretz Moshe Tikein Birchas Azon Mishum Hochi Nokat Malchus De Lo Havi Smuchos. In principle, the brachos of the text of the brachos were established at different times. Moshe made the text of the first bracha, and Yoshua made the text of the second bracha. So that since they were formulated at separate times, it's not really somach lechaverta. And therefore, in principle, the second bracha of the Brichas Hamazon needs malchus. Umihu anan hoyo v'niskenu al haseder ein onu poischem b'boruch. However, since we joined all the three brachas together, so we don't. It doesn't open up with a bracha of its own. V'yesh shenoagim lomar b'Bonei Yerushalayim malchus, and there are those that in fact say a malchus in Bonei Yerushalayim because of the ideas we mentioned before, either the lack of the lack of Derech Eretz, it would sound because it's not Derech Eretz to mention just Malchus Beis David and leave out Malchus Shemayim, so there are those that have a Malchus in the Bona Yerushalayim Bracha itself. So what Tosfos is explaining, the rationale behind having three Malchios in the Tova Metiv, one for itself because it needs that as part of its Bracha formulation, and two more for the Bracha of Noideh that doesn't have Malchus, and the Bracha of Bonei Yerushalayim. Now, Bonei Yerushalayim, we explained that's because of the proper etiquette issue, and the Noideh is because it really isn't, it's not a full-fledged Somach L'Chaverta in so far as that it was not formulated at the same time as the Birchas Hazon. So it too needs a Malchus in principle. We continue in the Gemara. Yosef Rabbi Zera Achorei de Rav Gidol, the Yosef Rav Gidol Kamei de Rav Huna, the Yosef Ekomar. So we have a number of Rabbonim present here, and the following was taught. And before we go on in the Gemara, we should note on the side our topic heading: Shochach Lahazkir Shabbos Yom Tov Rosh Chodesh Brachos Hamazon. If one forgot to mention this, or we should point out this is not only a topic, but we also have a structural note, the Mivneh, that accompanies this. You'll notice we have diamonds in the Gemara. These are reference to different mistakes that one could have, let's say, violated in the Birchas HaMazon by not mentioning Shabbos, not mentioning Yom Tov, not mentioning Rosh Chodesh in the Birchas HaMazon when you are saying it on those days. Now, the Gemara. So the following was taught. Ta'a v'lo hiska, the first diamond, you can see ta'a v'lo hiska shel Shabbos. If a person had a meal on Shabbos and didn't say the ritzei, a paragraph, which is the paragraph added in honor of Shabbos. So what does he do? Omer. So he adds a passage after the Bonei Yerushalayim. He inserts Baruch Shinosan Shabbosus L'mnucha L'amu Yisrael B'avo L'Yisrael B'riz Baruch Mekadish HaShabbos. That's a bracha text that one would add at that point. The truth is that it's many times when the Gemara gives you bracha texts, it gives you in a slightly abbreviated fashion. So this, the beginning of this, it says Baruch Shinosan. You're really going to say Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shinosan Shabbosus, etc. Omar Lei. So Rav Huna asks Rav Gidol, Man Omra, who said that? Answer, Rav. Rav taught that. Hodar Yosef Vikomar. Then he continued saying, Ta'av alo hiskir shel yontov. Omer, if one missed the Yalev Yavo that's inserted into a Brichas HaMazon on yontov meal, so what does he do, being that he skipped it? So he says, Baruch Shinosan Yomim Toivim Lamo Yisrael Lesimcha Lezikoron Baruch Mekadesh Yisrael Vazmanim. So once again he asked, Man Omra, Rav Huna asked Rav Gidol, who taught you that? Answer, Rav. Hoda Yosef Ekomar. Rav Gidol continued and taught, Ta'av lo hizkir shel Rosh Chodesh. Similarly, he skipped the Yalav Yavu of Rosh Chodesh in his Birchas HaMazon. So you insert after the Bonei Yerushalayim the following, Baruch Shinosan Rosh Chodoshim Lamo Yisrael Lezikoroim. V'lo Yodana, and he Rav Gidol goes on to say, E Omar Ba Simcha, E Lo Omar Ba Simcha. E Chosim Ba, E Lo Chosim Ba. E Dide, E Derabe. These are a number of doubts that exist in this last teaching. Does the skipping of Rosh Chodesh, does one insert in that text, like we saw by Yom Tov, where we said Shenosan Yom Tov in Israel is Simcha Zikaron? Does the makeup text, the inserted text for Rosh Chodesh, include the word Simcha? Likewise, I don't know if there's a chasima to it, because all we see here is Baruch Shinosan Rosh Chodesh Mam Yisrael Zikaron. We don't see a closing section, so I don't know if there's a closing to that bracha or not. Ididide Idrabe. The what's unclear here is I don't know if Rav Gittel said it in the name of Rav or not. Gittel bar Menyumi have koi kamei de Rav Nachman. To Rav Nachman. Gittel was this Gittel bar Menyumi was present by Rav Nachman, and when Rav Nachman was saying a Birchas Hamazon, that's to Rav Nachman. Now we continue at the top of Amud Beis. Hodar L'Reishi, he made a mistake, and in other words, he left out one of these necessary paragraphs. He left out mentioning Shabbos, let's say, and he went back to the beginning of the Birchas Hamazon. This is similar to something you find in Shmon Esrei. If a person took his steps back after concluding Shmon Esrei, having left out an essential paragraph, so he has to go back to the beginning. Amalei, so Gittel asks, "My time of it Marhachi, why are you doing this? Why are you going back to the beginning?" Amalei, the Omar Reb Shilo, Omar Rav Ta Chozel Rosh. If one makes a mistake in the Birchas Hamazon, he has to go back to the very, very beginning. Question: V'ha Omar Avun Omar Rav Ta Omer Baruch Shenasan. But we just saw in the previous Gemara that if you missed an essential paragraph, you add Baruch Shenasan. We saw the different texts, not going back to the beginning. Amalei, so he answers, Lav itmar alo Amar Rav Menashe bar Tachlif Amar Rav lo shana elo shelo pasach b'hatov ha-meitiv. The option that one has of adding the Borach Shenosan texts that we saw at the bottom of Amud Aleph, that's if he didn't start the fourth bracha of the Birchas Hamazon, Avol pasach b'hatov ha-meitiv. If he finished the third bracha, left out the essential paragraph, and then went on to the fourth paragraph. Hatov Meitiv is he has to Chozer LeRosh. Avol Posach Batov Meitiv Chozer LeRosh. So that both halachas are correct. There is the option of adding the insert. That's when you didn't start. You realized your mistake before you started Hatov Meitiv. But if you didn't realize you're skipping the essential paragraph because of Shabbos or Yotov, then, and you continued into Hatov HaMeitiv, then you have to go back to the very beginning of Birchas Hamazon. Omar of Idi Barovin, Omar of Amram, Omar of Nachmon, Omar Shmuel, To'ovolo Hizkir Shel Rosh Chodesh. A person deleted the reference to Rosh Chodesh. So when? Aleph, Bitfila Machzirin Oso. If in the Shmon Esrei he skipped the reference to Rosh Chodesh, the Aleph Yovo, he has to go back to the beginning. He has to daven again. He has to say Shmon Esrei again. Birchas Hamazon ain machzirin oso. If he left out the Yalav Yovel of Rosh Chodesh in his Birchas Hamazon, he doesn't have to say Birchas Hamazon again. Amar Le Rav Ini Bar Oven L'Rav Amram, Mai Shno Tfilo, Mai Shno Birchas Hamazon. What's the difference between Tfilo and Birchas Hamazon? Amar Le Af Lili Kashili. This too was a difficulty for me. Shi'ilte L'Rav Nachman, and I asked this question of Rav Nachman. V'Amar Le, and he answered. The Yomerli Mine Demor Shmuel Lo Shmili. Rav Nachman said that I didn't hear from Shmuel an explanation. Elo Nechsi Anan, but rather we will figure it out on our own. Tfila Dechovahi Mavzir Noso. Tfila Shmon Esrei, which is essential. It's obligatory. So if you left out an aspect of something that's obligatory, so you have to go back. Birchas Hamazon, di boy ochil, di boy lo ochil, ein machzir noso. But Birchas Hamazon is something that is a function of having eaten. But the eating itself is optional. If you wanted to, you could have eaten. If not, not. So that it's true that Birchas Hamazon is essential once you've eaten. But the basis of the Birchas Hamazon, the actual meal itself, was something that was optional. Hence, it's not like tefillah. And therefore, if you left out the Yalav Yavo of something that its origin is optional, it's something that doesn't have to be gone over or repeated. Elo me'ato. The question is raised. Shabbosos v'yomim tovim de lo sagi de lo ochi lo chinami di toi hadar. With regard to Shabbos and Yontif, that the meals of Shabbos and Yontif are obligatory. It's not like Rosh Chodesh, where the issue came up. And now what the Gemara here opened up with an issue of skipping Yalav Yov of Rosh Chodesh. But if you skip the Yalav Yov of Yomim Tovim or of Shabbos, that is already a different story. Since the meal there is obligatory, are you going to say that if you skip them, you skip the reference to Shabbos, you skip the Ritzei, or you skip the Alav Yavo and Yom Tov, are you going to say that you have to go back and say the Birchas HaMazonin? Omar Lei, in. That is correct. The Omar of Shiloh Omarav, Tov Lo Chozer Rosh, that if you skipped it, you have to go back to the beginning. V'ho Omar of Huna Omarav, Tov Omar Birch HaShinosan. But why go back to the beginning when Rav taught that if you skipped the reference to Shabbos or Yom Tov, you say that insert bracha of Baruch Shenosan that we saw at the bottom of Amud Aleph? The Gemara answers like we answered before. Lavit Ma'olah, was it not stated? Lo Shonu Ela Shelo Pasal Batov Emetiv. The idea of the insert bracha instead of going back, that's if you didn't start the next bracha, the fourth bracha of Birchas Hamazon, Avol Pasal Batov Emetiv, Chozer LeRosh. But if you did start the fourth bracha of the Birchas Hamazon after having deleted the Ritzei or the Yalav Yavo of Yom Tov, then Chozer LeRosh, and you do have to go back to the beginning. So in this last section of Gemara, we made a distinction between the skipping of the Yalav Yavo of Rosh Chodesh in Birchas Hamazon versus the skipping of Yalav Yavo in the Birchas Hamazon of Shabbos, or say Ritzei of Shabbos or the Yalav Yavo of Yom Tov. Then you do have to go back to the beginning. What's interesting to note, though, that even though we're saying that the meal of Rosh Chodesh is something that's optional, if you skipped the Alav Yavo, but you recalled the error before Hatov HaMeitiv, there you do have an insert text similar to that of the Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Gemara continues, Ad Kamo Mezamnin. And we saw Ad Kezayas and Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ad Kebetza. This point of Ad Kama Mezamnin, so Tosfos points out that the same text, the same Lashon could have been regarding the Birchas Hamazon itself without a Zimun. How much would one have had to eat in order to say the Birchas Hamazon? The Gemara is focused on Zimun, but not to the exclusion of Birchas Hamazon. Tosfos says that the chiddush is that even over such a small amount as an olive quantity of bread, there could be a zimun. But as we said, certainly there will be a Birchas Hamazon. But a zimun is a group effort where three people get together and say a Birchas Hamazon in this group form. That can be done even if they ate only a kezias. So the Gemara continues with a question, and the question lasts a number of lines, hence we have a long question marking, and it regards lining up these particular names, Rabbi Meir with the Kezias and Rabbi Yehuda with the Kebetza, when we seem to have something of an opposite nature with the same names and same quantities taught elsewhere. So the Gemara asks, Lameimra, the Rabbi Meir Choshev Le Kezayas Rabbi Yehuda Kebetza. Are we suggesting that Rabbi Meir gives importance, significance to an olive quantity, and Rabbi Yehuda would not, unless it's something as large as an egg, which is several times larger than a Kezayas? But we have heard them say the opposite. In other words, the names and the quantities are switched around. This time we have the following Tanaic source, and it says, V'chein mi shiyotzim Yishalayim v'nizkar shahoyo biyodo b'sar kodesh. This source is really in the context of another topic. Hence, it opens up with the expression, V'chein. Prior to this, there was a discussion concerning someone who was slaughtering their Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, and he recalled that he had chometz in his house. So is there a need for him to destroy that chometz? We'll just say that that's a separate topic, but we just go on with the source we have at hand. It says, and likewise, with regard to someone who left Yerushalayim and remembered v'nizka shoy biyado basar kodesh, and he recalls that he has in his possession, as he's leaving Yerushalayim, he has meat that is of a sacrificial, of a holy nature. and he's now leaving, he's left Yerushalayim, and meat is not supposed to leave Yerushalayim, even if it happens to be the lower level sanctity known as Kochim Kalim, still, this is not right. So, im ovar soifim sorfo b'mokomo, if he passed an area called Sofim, some may associate this with something we call today Mount Scopus. The word scope has to do with vision, just like the word Sofim is to see something. So Rashi says, Sofim is Mokom Shiyochol Liros Beis HaMikdash. Could be a generic term, and it's a term any place around Yerushalayim that you can still see from that point, you can still see the Beis HaMikdash. So then, if you've passed that point, you're further away, you can no longer see the Beis HaMikdash, Sofim B'Mokomo, then burn the meat, which has been rendered unfit by its having left Yerushalayim, burn it where you are. The imlav, if you can still see the Beis HaMikdash, from the point that you remembered that you have the meat of sacrifices, chozer v'sorfoi lifnei habira me'atzei amarocha, then go back to the bira, which is an expression referring to the a place on the Harabayas, where there was a fireplace for burning ruined sacrificial material, and use the Atzei Hamarocha, means use the wood that was dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash, the temple fireplace. Ad kamo heim chozerim, for what quantity, when we say you go back, for what quantity did you have? What quantity of meat did you have that we would say go back to burn it from the Harabayas with the wood of the Beis HaMikdash? Rabbi Meir Omer, Zeh v'zeh b'kebeitza. Both the previous topic, which had to do with chometz, and this topic of the Basar Kodesh, the shi'ur, the quantity, is measured in terms of an egg quantity. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Zeh v'zeh b'kezayas. And Rabbi Yehuda says, these two halachas are measured in terms of an olive quantity. So what do you see from here? You see that Rabbi Meir is the associated with the egg quantity shear, and Rabbi Yehuda with the olive quantity, the opposite of what we had said in our mission regarding Birchas HaMazon and Zimun. Omar Rav Yochanan, the first approach is that of Rabbi Yochanan, says Muchlefes Hashita, just switch them around so that you'll have Rabbi Meir saying Kezias and Rabbi Yehuda saying Kebeitza. Abai Omar Liolam Lo Tepuch, there's no need to switch around. What you're dealing with are two, three separate topics. You're dealing with one topic of Birchas HaMazon, you're dealing with the topic of Sreifas Chometz, and you're dealing with the topic of Kochim, of burning Kochim. So Abai says, listen, you don't have to switch things around. Hacha v'kroi pligi, here in the case of Birchas HaMazon, there's an issue of how to darshan psukim. And later, you can see we've squiggle underlined this expression, Hacha v'kroi pligi, and two lines later, we've squiggle lined Hasam b'svora pligi there. Abai tells you that the Tanoim, in the case of the meat, there is a point of logic that serves as the crux of their controversy. So we see Abaye's point, and once again, Abaye's point here is that there's no need to switch around shitas to align the names with quantities. Hacha b'kroi pligi, here in the case of Birchas HaMazon, the machlokas we saw in our mission is based on Psukim, Rabbi Meir Savar. He looks at the pasuk which features Birchas HaMazon. The pasuk itself says, V'yochata v'savata v'rachtus Hashem Elokecha. And he says, V'yochata zu achila, v'savata zu shtia. Achalta is a reference to drinking, to eating. Savata is a reference to drinking. The achila equals bekezayas, and the shear of achila, wherever you have laws that are governed by the term achila, it is known to be an olive quantity. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Rabbi Yehuda, looking at the same pasuk, darshins it differently. It says v'achalta v'savata achila sheyesh bo sfia. When does one say Birchas HaMazon? When one eats an amount that could potentially result in satisfaction. V'yezo, and what is that? Zo kibetza. Or you can read v'yezo, zo, what is that? What is an achila sheyesh bo sviya? What is what's a quantity of food that could create a feeling of satisfaction? That's an egg quantity of food. So that the machlokis Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is based on how do you darshan the pasuk of Yachatu v'Savata v'Rechto in the context of Birchas HaMazon. Hasam b'Svara Pligi, there in the case of Kochim that left Yerushalayim, there's a different point of analysis. Rabbi Meir Savar, Chazorosoi Ketumosoi. The amount requiring a person to return is the same amount that is associated with Tumah. Ma Tumaso Bekebetza, just like the shear, the quantity for Tumas Ochlin, for food to become Tomei and be able to communicate it further to other forms of food, that is only when you have an egg quantity. So Av Chazaroso Bekebetza, so to the rules of returning meat that mistakenly left Yerushalayim is based on that standard, the Tumah standard, namely an egg quantity. Rebuta Savar Chazaroso Kisuro. Rebuta says that the laws of return to the Beis Hamikdash to burn the sacrificial meat that mistakenly left its precinct is based on the same shi'ur, the same quantity that is associated with prohibition. Not Tumah, but Isur. Ma Isur b'gezayis, just like the prohibition, let us say, of eating meat that left. One is not allowed to eat meat. How much would he not be allowed to eat? Even if he were eating a kezayis, he would be in violation. Af chazaroso b'gezayis, so to the a quantity that would force a person or demand of a person to return to burn it is the same quantity. So Rabbi Meir associates the quantity of Chazorah based on the quantity for Tumah, and Rebuta, the quantity of Chazorah of return is based on the quantity of Isur, of violation of eating meat that left its, how much meat would be culpable for, or how much meat would one be culpable for if he left Yerushalayim, and that's a Kezias. The Mishnah. We have a topic heading here called the under our nosei heading, Nusach Birchas Hazimun, the text of the Birchas Hazimun. Ketzad Mezamnin. B'shlosh Omer Nivorech. B'shlosh Avuhu Omer Boruchu. When you have three people, so you would say Nivorech Shochanu Mishalo. If you have four people, so then you would say a word of command, Boruchu Shochanu Mishalo, which the person leading would be talking to three people and commanding them, bless the one from whom you ate. Basora Omer Nivorech Elokeinu. Basora Vahu, if you have 11 people, then Boruchu. The point that's unique here is that you're now adding the Shem Hashem because you have 10 people. There's a phrase that's stuck in the middle of the Mishnah here, and the Gemara will deal with this phrase. It would seem to be out of place because it says, as follows, it says, Echad Asora, whether you're dealing with 10, the Echad Asora Ribo, or whether you're dealing with Asora Ribo is 10 times 10. Asora Ribo, a Ribo is 10,000 people. So it would be, Asora Ribo would be 10 times 10,000, 100,000 people. So this line is saying we don't make any distinction whether it be 10 or 100,000. The Mishnah goes on, and we just, as we said, this phrase is stuck here in the middle of things and doesn't really belong here. The Gemara will deal with it. V'me'a hu omer nevorech Hashem Elokeinu. V'me'a v'hu, if you have 100 people plus the leader, omer boruchu. Ube'elef hu omer, with 1,000 people, you say, Nevorech l'Hashem Elokeinu, Elokei Yisrael. Notice how the text is increasing with this increased number of people. There's more reference to the Almighty. Ube'elef hu, if you have 1,000 people plus the leader, there's 1,001 people, omer, boruchu. Beribo Omer Nevorech Lashem Elokeinu Elokei Yisrael Elokei Tzvokos Yeshiv Akuvim Ala Mozen Shochanu. Here, quite an elaborate reference to the Almighty, where let us bless the Almighty, the God of Israel, the God of hosts, who dwells amongst the Kruvim regarding the food we ate. And Beribo Vahu, Omer, Boruchu. Then you use the command expression. Ke'inyan Shu Omer, Ke'inyan Shu Mevorech, Kach Oinim Achrov. The text that is used in leading this Zimun is similar to the text that they will offer, they will say as a response. And they will say Boruch, in other words, in the last case, in the 10,000 scenario, where there was an instruction, Nivorech Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Yisrael Elokei Tzvok Yisrael Shevakuvim, that's what the leader says. So the response is Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Yisrael Elokei Tzvok Yisrael Shevakuvim Alamozan Shalchanu. So the it's a responsive type reading. So what the text that the leader says to say, they in fact do say that text. Rabbi Yossi Haglili Omer, Lefi Rov Hakol Hein Mevorchim. Rabbi Yossi says that the text will depend on the size of the people gathered, and he cites a pasuk for this. Shenemar B'Makelos Baruch Elokim Hashem Mimekor Yisrael. Glancing at the Rashi, Lefi Rov Hakol Hein Mevorchim Kamo Sheomar. Just like it was said, Sheish Chiluk ben Me'ah v'Asora, ubein Me'ah v'Elef, ubein Elef l'Ribo. As, in other words, that Rabbi Yossi was essentially the author of the bulk of this Mishnah that acknowledges the different numbers of people that are assembled. And here Rashi touches on the point that we mentioned before, v'ha dikotoni echor asor v'echor asor ribo, that phrase, whether it be 10 or 10 times 10,000, the same is to be said. That's Rabbi Akiva here. It's a different author. It's a different opinion that authored that line. And that is now going to be the subject of the Mishnah as we go on. After Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that one should acknowledge through the text the additional number groupings, Omar Rabbi Akiva, what do we find in a shul practice? Echad merubin v'echad mu'atim. Whether it's a very large shul filled with people, or it's just a bare minimum minion of 10 people. Omer, Baruch Hu es Hashem. That's what we say in the Torah reading. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Baruch Hu es Hashem hamavorach. And he adds the word hamavorach, but you don't see any change in the text that would correspond to a change in the number. That's Rabbi Akiva's argument back to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Of course, if Rabbi Akiva is arguing that way, it must be that Rabbi Yossi Aglili himself acknowledges that when it comes to a shul, we don't make a distinction. So then the question will be, why, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, will one distinguish in the Birchas Hamazon as opposed to a shul scenario? That particular topic is something that Tosfos addresses, and for those who are interested, we, Mirtz Hashem, will cover that in our Tosfos Shiur. The Gemara, Omar Shmuel, Li'olam al Yotzi Odom es Atzmo min HaKlal. A person should not exclude himself from the community. That's Shmuel's teaching. Tanan, well, we have our Mishnah, and it says, B'shloisha v'hu, if you have four people, Omer Baruch Hu. Baruch Hu is an effect. Someone is giving an instruction to the other people. You shall bless. So Rashi explains Tanan Shlosha B'Shlosha Vahu. So Omer Baruch Hu Alma Hochi Adif Klomar Rabim Atem Vafilu Eini Imochem. If you analyze the command word Baruch Hu, he's saying you shall bless. In other words, and I'm not with you. The expression would seem to be exclusionary, so that the speaker is motzi atzmo min haklal. The Gemara responds, Emo, here we're at the very top of Daf Nun, af Baruch Hu. Even Baruch Hu is an option. Umikom akom nivorech odif. But nevertheless, nivorech is, now here we have a tricky problem here. Should we translate the word odif in the standard form? Odif would mean is better, Tosfos, on the other hand, takes issue with that, and he says he prefers to translate the word odif as being important, is also important. The Nivorach is also significant. The Omar Rav Ado Bar Avo Amri Bey Rav Tanina Shisha Nechlokin Ad Asora. We have learned this already, that if you have six people that ate together, six or seven or eight, up till ten, they can split into a couple of groups. E Amris Bishlama Nivorach. So let's focus on the number six for the time being. So E Amris Bishlama Nivorach Odif. If you say that Nivorach is a choice expression, Mishum Hachi Nechlokin. Therefore, if you have six, a group of six, they can divide. Ela Yamas Borchu Odif. If you say that Borchu is the better approach, then Amai Nechlokin. How can you allow six to divide? If you attempt to divide six and get, let's say, a group of three and three, so Borchu will no longer be an option because Borchu is recited, is stated when you have four people. Elolav Shmamino, Nivorech Odif, Shmamino. So we see from here that Nivorech is no less an option, if not better, than Borchu. And this will go back to what Shmuel taught, that a person should always strive not to moitzi es atzmo min haklal, not to exclude himself. And by using the term Borchu, you in effect are excluding yourself. So the term Nivorech would seem to be a better expression. Tanyo Nami Hochi. Now, when we say with the word Odif, when we say better, we are saying so, but Tosfos himself doesn't use that translation. But for the simple Pshat in the Gemara, I think that we can say that. Tanyo Nami Hochi. We have a Tanaic source that supports this. Bein Sheomar Borchu, Bein Sheomar Nivorech, Ein Tosfin Oisoi Alkach. Either expression you use. Let's assume that you have four people there, so either expression will be okay. We don't grab him on that. We don't stop him over that. V'hanakdonim toysin oisoy alkach. The nakdonim are the people that are very very precise. They will stop him. And now, if we look at the Rashi on this, several lines down, Rashi says, "Bahanak donim, dav konim." Davka means is this way only. Dav konim toisin oso al shahoitzi asman aklal. That if someone used the term borchu when he could have used the term nevorech, so they will say, "Why did you use borchu? You were motzi asman min aklal." This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings, Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi, Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.